Today, Santa Rally incoming. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Liz. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. Well, there was a searing late year rally that brought the S&P 500 to a fresh 2023 high, as investors bet the Federal Reserve is done raising interest rates and the US economy will remain resilient in the face of tighter monetary policy. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the risks of hiking interest rates too much and slowing the economy more than necessary have become more balanced, with the risks of not hiking enough to control inflation. He vowed to move carefully on interest rates. Earlier this week, investor optimism about rate cuts surged after Fed Governor Christopher Waller, widely seen as a hawkish policymaker, flagged the possibility of lower interest rates in coming months if inflation continued to ease. The lack of pushing back on Waller leads the market to conclude that Powell's okay with where equities and long-term treasury yields have been going recently, said Josh Jamner, investment strategy analyst at Clearbridge Investments in New York. Powell is trying to be balanced, trying to make sure the market doesn't get ahead of itself. He doesn't want the market or traders to speculate on interest rate decreases, said Tim Griske, senior portfolio strategist at Ingalls and Snyder. He's all about the data, and the core inflation data over the last 6 months has been good. But he reiterates the objective is still 2%, and he doesn't want all the work the Fed has done to bring inflation down to suddenly be reversed. While Powell tried to subtly convince markets of the Fed's commitment to keep rates high, Carl Shimato, chief market strategist at Corpay in Toronto, doubted this would deter investors betting on a dramatic pivot in early 2024. So, is the Fed at risk of committing a major policy error if it begins to loosen monetary conditions too soon, which could see inflationary pressures begin to pick up again? Well, if anything, the Fed has more room to raise interest rates and cut them, presuming it follows the numbers. Indeed, US government data released on Thursday showed that the US economy grew at a faster than expected 5.2% annual rate in the third quarter amid surprisingly robust consumer spending. So the Fed's aggressive rate increases so far appear to have done little damage to the US economy, despite fears that tighter monetary policy would hurt growth. The S&P 500 is up over 9% year to date after posting its biggest monthly rise in November. The index stood about 4% below its all-time closing high from January 2022. The benchmark index closed at 4,594.63. That's nearly 6 points above its previous closing high for 2023, set in late July, having gained 0.6% on Friday. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.82% to 36,245. And Nasdaq Composite added 78 points, or 0.55%, to 14,305. But nearly 72% of the S&P 500 gains have been driven by a cluster of mega-cap stocks such as Apple, Tesla, and Nvidia, which all have outsized weightings on the index. Many other names have languished. In fact, the equal-weighted S&P 500, whose performance is not skewed by big tech and growth stocks, is up just around 6% over 2023. So some worry that investor overexuberance may have already set in after November's big rally, which spurred huge moves in some of the market's more speculative names. Streaming service company Roku soared 75% in November, for instance, while cryptocurrency firm Coinbase climbed 62% and Cathie Wood's ARK Innovation Fund was up 31%, its best performance of any month in the last 5 years. In fact, Michael Harnett, chief investment strategist at Bank of America Global Research, said in the Friday note that the firm's contrarian bull and bear indicator, which assesses factors such as hedge fund positioning, equity flows, and bond flows, had moved out of the buy zone for the first time since mid-October. If you caught it, no need to chase it, he wrote of the rally. As US stocks sit on hefty gains at the close of a roller coaster year, investors are eyeing factors that could sway equities in the remaining weeks of 2023, including tax loss selling and the so-called Santa Claus rally, we had a solid year, but history shows that December can sometimes move to its own beat, said Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA Research in New York. Earlier on Friday, the Institute of Supply Management said its PMI, manufacturing PMI that is, was unchanged at 46.7 last month. That was the 13th consecutive month the PMI stayed below 50, indicating a contraction in manufacturing and the longest such stretch since the period from August 2000 to January 2002. The US PCE price index rose 3% in October compared to the previous year, deaccelerating from the 3.4% increase in the last 3 months. And the US inflation has recorded its smallest yearly rise since March 2021. Moreover, jobless claim figures reached a two-year high, thus easing price pressures and a softer labour market support the view that the Federal Reserve has ended the rate hiking cycle, increasing the chance of rate cuts in the coming months. Fed's officials' dovish comments earlier in the week continued back those options we discussed. So according to the CME FedWatch tool, the probability of an interest rate cut in March has increased to 49.2%. Mona Mahajan, senior investment strategist Edward Jones, said Friday's data supported the idea of low inflation, a gradually cooling economy, and the Fed staying on the sidelines. In currencies, the dollar fell from 2 days of gains, with the dollar index down 0.232%. And in treasuries, the benchmark 10-year note was down 0.36% to 4.209 from 4.35% late on Thursday. The 30-year bond was last down 0.55% to 4.392, while the 2-year note was last down 0.35% to 4.551. Federal fund futures, a widely used security for hedging short-term interest rate risk, implies a Fed funds rate of 4.54% by the end of July versus 5.12% that was expected just 3 months ago for the same period. Gold surged to a record high of $2,075 US an ounce, and that was lifted by expectations the Fed has done with policy tightening and could cut rates next year. It was last at $2,071 on the forward contract. Oil prices slumped more than 2% on Friday, though, as investors were sceptical about the depth of OPEC plus supply cuts and concerns about sluggish global manufacturing activity. Brent crude futures for February settled down 1.61% to $78.88 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude dropped 2.08% to $74.07 a barrel. For the week, Brent posted a decline of about 2.1%, while WTI lost more than 1.9%. OPEC Plus producers agreed on Thursday to remove about 2.2 million barrels per day of oil from the global market in the first quarter of next year, with the total including a rollover of Saudi Arabia and Russia's 1.3 million barrel per day of current voluntary cuts. But the big question is, will members be compliant? The cuts are completely voluntary, so there was no collective revision of OPEC Plus's production targets, which pumps, by the way, about 40% of the world's oil, after prices fell from above $98 a barrel in late September on concerns about the impact of sluggish economic growth on fuel demand. This, of course, may ease inflation in some areas. The cuts will not stop a billowing cloud of confusion that is going to take the oil market weeks and months to figure out, and only if the self-reporting data is indeed reliable, PVM analyst John Evans said. European stock markets rose on Friday, extending November's positive momentum on renewed hope that the European Central Bank has completed its rate hike cycle. The DAX index in Germany traded 1.12% higher, the CAC 40 in France traded up 0.48%, and the FTSE in London rose 1.01%. European stocks recorded in November their best month since January, as easing inflation boosted talk that the European Central Bank is done with aggressive rate hikes. These expectations were added to on Thursday after data showed that Eurozone inflation fell to 2.4% in November, down from 2.9% in October, and significantly lower than expected. ECB officials have been keen to play down expectations of rate cuts next year, but the new governor for the Bank of Italy, Fabio Panetta, who is also a member of the ECB's governing council, said on Thursday that the ECB must not cause unnecessary damage to the economy and financial stability through sustained high interest rates. The latest data on manufacturing activity in the Eurozone confirmed that this is an important sector and it remains firmly in contraction territory in November. In Asia, most Asian stocks retreated on Friday, seeing a measure of profit-taking after strong gains through November. Mixed economic signals from China also kept sentiment largely constrained. China's Shanghai Composite Index rose slightly, while the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index sank more than 1%. They had widely lagged their Asian peers in November, as investors remained wary of an economic downturn in the country. China's manufacturing activity unexpectedly rose back to expansionary levels in November, according to a private survey from Friday, as a mild increase in domestic demand helped offset a persistent decline in overseas orders. The Hang Seng Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index rose to 50.7 in November, beating expectations of a reading of 49.3 and improving sharply from the 49.6 in the prior month. By the way, a reading above 50 indicates expansion, with the survey now coming back into growth after an unexpected contraction in October. The reading was in contrast, though, to government PMI data released on Thursday, which showed a bigger-than-expected decline in manufacturing activity, but the Hang Seng survey differs from the government survey in its scope, wherein it focuses more on smaller private enterprises as opposed to the bigger state-run enterprises covered by the official survey. Investors usually see both surveys to get a broader picture of the Chinese economy. Still, Friday's data indicates some improvement in China's biggest economic engines, especially as Beijing increased its pace of liquidity injections and supportive measures over the past month. An improvement in local new business orders was a key point of support for manufacturing activity, helping slightly offsetting a continued decline in overseas demand. The macro economy has been recovering. Household consumption, industrial production and market expectations have all improved, but domestic and foreign demand is still insufficient. Employment pressures remain high and economic recovery has yet to find a solid footing, said Wang Zi, senior economist at Casing Insight Group. Xi noted that employment conditions in the manufacturing sector still remain weak and said that more policy support was needed to improve consumption employment. He also noted that the Chinese economy remained largely on track to attain a 5% annual growth target set by the government. Beijing is set to roll about 1 trillion yuan or 139 billion US dollars by a bond issuance to spur infrastructure spending and economic growth in the coming months. The government was also now seen preparing more funding support for China's beleaguered property sector, which has been a major drag on economic growth over the past 3 years. Losses in Chinese stocks spilled over into other regions with high trade exposure to the country. South Korea's KOSPI sank 1.19% after vastly outperforming its Asian peers in November with a 10.6% rally. Data released on Friday also showed that some improvement was in the South Korean exports and manufacturing activity through November. Japan's Nikkei 225 traded down slightly after an 8.5% jump in November. The index also remained in sight of a 33-year peak, although further gains were somewhat uncertain as the PMI data released on Friday showed continued weakness in the manufacturing sector. The Bank of Japan's massive asset buying scheme, introduced in 2013, led to a sharp deterioration in the function of the country's bond markets, which continued to worsen after the adoption of its yield curve control, a central bank survey of market participants showed on Friday. The findings highlight the strains that the central bank's prolonged super loose monetary policy has inflicted on market liquidity in the world's third largest economy, amid heightened market expectations that the Bank of Japan is starting to consider an exit from ultra-low interest rates. I see the biggest problem as the Bank of Japan's ownership of Japanese government bonds. It owns about 50%, which is too high. The market won't recover unless this ratio falls close to 10%, said senior strategist at Sumito Mitsui Trust Asset Management. With inflation exceeding the Bank of Japan's target of 2% for more than a year, many market players expect the incumbent governor to start dismantling his predecessor's massive stimulus program next year. The 10-year Japan government bond yield moved in a range of 0.24% to 0.97% so far this year, higher than the 40 basis point band between 0.08% and 0.48% that it hugged in 2022. It was last at 0.706. With yield curve control already watered down, many market players expect the Bank of Japan to end negative interest rates either in January or April next year, and the central bank next meets for a rate review on December the 18th and 19th. Now in Australia, Australian shares gave back some of November's bumper gains as 2023 ended its final month on Friday, as per the Purchasing Managers Index data showed a sustained decline in manufacturing activity. Still, the ASX 200 was nursing a nearly 4% bounce in November. The ASX 200 closed 0.2% lower at 7,073 and shrugged off a late session rally on US indices overnight. The All Ords fell by a similar margin. Despite Friday's dip, the benchmark closed 0.5% higher than a week earlier. Shares rose 4.5% in November, marking its strongest monthly gain since January and snapping a three-month losing streak. Tech stocks were the worst hit on Friday, though, down 1.1%. And even with Friday's losses, tech stocks remained the best performers of the week, up 2.3% over the five trading days. Consumer stocks also declined, with Premier Investments, one of the few bright spots in the sector for investors, gaining 2.8% to $25.11 after the retailer said expected earnings before tax in the first half to come in at around $200 million, higher than expected by most analysts. Sayonia Mining fell 6.1% to a new 52-week low at 6.2 cents. The lithium developer received its first remuneration strike at its AGM on Thursday. Shares in Paladin Energy bounced 6.2% to $1.04 after falling about 5.5% on Thursday amid a surge in trading activity in uranium stocks in recent weeks. And Coles fell 1% to $15.17 after Australia's consumer watchdog waved through plans by the supermarket owner to purchase two milk facilities from Saputo. Core Lithium dropped 3.6% to 27 cents after being downgraded to sell by analysts Citi. And financial services platform Iress was the best performing stock on the ASX 200 over the week, gaining another 4.7% on Friday to be up more than 25% since Monday. On Thursday, the company upgraded its earnings guidance for calendar year 23 to between $123 and $128 million from the previous $118 to $122 million. Among the banks, CBA was down 0.45%, Westpac down 0.47%, NAB up 0.11% and ANZ up 0.25%. Macquarie was down 0.75% to $167.79. The Aussie climbed against the US dollar to $66.73 and against the UK pound to $52.51. Focus now turns to the upcoming Reserve Bank of Australia meeting next week, where the central bank is widely expected to keep interest rates on hold after recent data showed a bigger than expected drop in inflation. And finally, in crypto, the Bitcoin price has continued to move in a sideways pattern for the past few days. The percentage gain of Bitcoin for this year is much higher than for gold and other commodities like oil. To put things in perspective, Bitcoin price a year ago was knocking around 16,000. This year, the price is trading around 38,000. It seems traders, though, are more focused on major events, such as the approval of BlackRock's ETF. The decision is now long overdue. If there were to be a positive response, some say we could see the Bitcoin price crossing more than 50,000 US. However, if there is no decision, we could see the price continue to move in its current range or maybe slightly higher. Bitcoin was last at 38,768. That said, shares of crypto miners and Bitcoin tracking companies rose on Friday as the world's largest cryptocurrency extended the recent rally to touch a 90-month high on improving risk appetite. Higher crypto prices should lead to a boost in transaction volume and transaction revenues for Coinbase as we enter 2024, said CFRA research analyst Michael Elliott. However, Elliott cautioned that crypto exchanges face both legal challenges and new regulations that are likely to take time to play out and will continue to result in volatility for the stock. So standing back, whilst there are clearly expectations of interest rate cuts from central banks next year, the question is, will they follow through on those or will they not? The market is absolutely banking on them, of course, and the market wants to be ahead of the curve and is trying to predict what happens next. I think there's still lots of risk and lots of volatility ahead, and it may well be that December deceives us. We will see. The bottom line is this. Things are not as clear-cut as people would like to see, and central bankers are still talking about keeping rates in restrictive areas to maintain their battle against inflation. And that battle is not yet won. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.